Hello and welcome to the Allegro Podcast, the podcast where you will be able to hear from your favorite athletes around the world. For our second episode, I will be talking to Devin Hart. Devin is currently running and studying at Stanford University. In high school, he collected 6 state championship titles, won the indoor 2-mile national championship, and was a multiple-time All-American. He has run impressive times such as 409, 853, and 14 flat. Hope you enjoy. Allegro. Allegro. Thanks so much for joining me today, Devin. To start off this episode, can you please introduce yourself and talk about how you started your running journey?
So my name's Devin Hart. I run for Stanford University right now, and I started my running journey probably around 7 or 8 years ago, back in, you know, middle school, I guess. And I kind of just started out running with my brother and my dad, and, you know, we really kind of just weren't taking it very seriously, obviously, because I was pretty little still. But, you know, I kind of just fell in love with the competition of it all. Not so much the running part. I mean, that's no fun a lot of times, but I really kind of just felt like I kind of found my niche and kind of could, like, excel in this sport. And I feel like I knew that from a young age. Like, it was kind of something that I could pursue and do really well at, despite not having, like, years of training before, like, in other sports, like basketball or baseball or something like that. I felt like it was something that you could pick up pretty late and still be able to really excel in the sport.
All right, yeah. So starting back from middle school to present day, what do you consider your greatest running accomplishment?
I'd say probably that's tough, but probably winning Meet of Champions my sophomore year, so the state championships in New Jersey. I don't know why that, like, kind of sticks out to me. It's just because it was kind of unexpected for me, and I'd say I was a pretty big underdog in that race, and it kind of, like, put my name on the map, I'd say, on a, both, like, a state level and maybe, like, a regional level, and I kind of felt like that was my breakthrough race that really, like, gave me confidence going forward and, like, made me believe, oh, like, I can really do really well in the sport in my later years of high school and probably go to, like, a really good university for it. And at that point, like, that accomplishment, I'd say, kind of, like, gave way to my other accomplishments because it kind of, like, motivated me after that victory to work hard in the summer and just keep upping the mileage, keep training hard, and, you know, have it. And it did pay off in the 2 years after, and it was really awesome just to, like, have that win my sophomore year to kind of push me forward into, like, a more elite level.
Yeah, definitely. How are you training going into that MOC race? Were you still training hard back then?
Yeah, I mean, my mindset, my like training mindset, I guess anyone who knows me knows this, but it's kind of just an all out kind of thing. I don't like to take things easy. And even before that race, before that season, even in middle school, I would take everything so hard. Like, I didn't do rest days. I would just kind of go, like, as hard as I could during workouts. There were no paces. It was kind of just a free for all. And however I was feeling that day, it was how I was feeling. And you know, I kind of, a lot of people say that's not really, like, a smart way to train, but I have to disagree with them on that because it's worked out for me, and I think it builds a certain kind of runner when you run like that, rather than being, like, focused on paces and how hard you're training and your rest days, like, specific mileage, being, like, a micromanager like that. I feel like it's important to kind of just go as you feel and see how hard you can push yourself. And I think that, coupled with good recovery, I guess, allows you to excel in the sport. Like, you don't need any, like, fancy scientific formulas or like training regimens. It's just it's just kind of something that I've always had and I've always believed in, and nothing's really gonna like change my mind on that because it's worked. But you know, in college I found that a lot of people come from a lot of different backgrounds in running, and a lot of times my and their philosophies and training kind of are at odds, and it kind of causes a little bit of tension in our training groups. But I definitely like wouldn't trade it for anything. It's kind of just how I am, and I think going forward into college, it'll definitely pay off as the training's just harder and I can outwork anyone. That's kind of how I always saw it.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that point about the importance on effort, because like I just think effort is, rather than going based on pace for every workout or going based on, like you said, some scientific formulas, effort is just like the most raw thing, and it actually has a lot of value.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like a lot of people get too caught up in their watch or in whatever like mileage they're running exactly, like exact numbers. And I think doing that creates a sort of, like, it creates a different stress that you don't need. I mean, you don't need to be focusing on that. If you just run and just focus on how hard you're training and don't worry about anything else, like, even if you're running slow and you feel it's hard, good, that's good enough. I mean, it doesn't matter necessarily what you're doing, as long as you believe that you're going to the best of your abilities.
Yeah, for sure. What do you like more, cross country or track?
For me, I'd say track. I guess it's kind of an unpopular opinion, but I don't know. I feel like it's easier for me to run races in track. I don't know, for some reason in cross country, I feel like I'm always a little bit weaker, whether it be just because of the terrain or the hills or whatnot. I feel like on track, if it's just a flat oval, I can just like grind a race out and hit the paces as I need to and kind of just like lead from the front and just kind of hammer it. But in cross country, I feel like that strategy doesn't work as well for some reason for me. And I'm trying to work on that a lot. I think like my biggest weakness is probably just like rolling terrain and hills. Like, I've never been good at that. Any course I've run in high school, it's just been like Holmdel, for example, or Van Cortlandt. I always get killed on the hills, and that's what costs me a race. So I think I've kind of leaned into track a little bit more because of that. And, you know, I just like it better, I guess. Yeah.
So whenever you had those flat 5Ks in cross country, were you always looking forward to those, like at Ocean County?
Oh, yeah. Those were always my favorite races. I mean, because I knew I could just lead it from the gun and just hammer it. Even like all my favorite races are probably from Ocean County Park. It's just, and it was my home course. I would train there like twice a week. So it's always something I loved just going to and, you know, just throwing down some fast miles and just like leaving the field. But at home though, like you can't really do that. The first mile is just uphill, the first half mile. And I would always get killed going up the bowl. So I'd always try to make like a gap for myself in the middle mile. But like people would slowly reel me in, but then like the downhill mile, I'd most of the time just like try to like keep the gap from getting any closer. But yeah, I've definitely found that the flat courses I prefer a lot more, and still trying to work on that. But there aren't too many hills at Stanford, so it's tough.
Yeah. So speaking of flat 5Ks, you recently, this past indoor season, you ran a 14 flat, right?
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that race and your build up to it? And do you think the 5K is an event that you really want to focus on in the future?
Yeah, so going into that race, I just ran 8:02, I think, a month before at the same track in the 3K. So with an 8:02, I figured, oh, I'd probably most likely break 14, like so I thought. So like going in, I felt really good about my training. Even though I had a little hiccup in like 3 weeks before, probably I had like some sort of sickness, you know, maybe it was like corona or something, but I don't know what it was. That like kind of took me out for a week, but I rebounded pretty well and was able to, you know, travel that weekend for the race. And Going in, I didn't feel as good as I did for the 802 earlier in the season, but I kind of just tried to hang with the top pack and try to break that barrier, but they kind of gapped me. Probably like halfway through the race, they started to just like drift away from me. So I found myself in a chase pack, and we seemed to like work off each other pretty well. And my teammate, Michael Verneuw and I, we kind of just grinded it out and tried to work off each other as we do in practice. And, you know, I remember coming down the last 100 meters of the track, like off the final turn. And I knew it was going to be really close because I think I had like 14 or 15 seconds to like make it. And I just like could not get into that final gear to break 14. So it was kind of rough just running like 14 flat, but
yeah,
I was definitely happy with it. Just given the circumstances, and considering that like it was my first 5K on an indoor track, and my first 5K in over a year at that point. And so, I was definitely really happy with the result and just with the season in general. You know, I only got 3 races in, 2 3Ks in that 5K, but it definitely showed a lot of improvement compared to high school. And I think the training that I'm doing in college is definitely a lot more sophisticated than what I was doing in high school, and it's really paying off.
Yeah. So, do you think that 5K gave you a lot of confidence? Because I'm guessing it was a huge PR from high school, right?
Oh yeah, I think it was like a 40 second PR or something like that, or 40.
Oh wow.
So yeah, I mean, just looking at where I was in high school and where I am now, it definitely gives me a lot of confidence going forward and confidence to see how far I can grow in the future.
All right, yeah. So going back to last indoor season as a senior in high school, you narrowly lost the 3200 at MOCs, but you overcame that defeat with a tremendous win at Nationals, and you got the national title in the 3200. In general, how do you go about overcoming failure?
Well, to be honest, that race, I think about a lot for some reason. I know it's kind of lame, I guess, being in college, thinking about your high school races. But that race really did affect me. And I know it's dumb, I guess. We both ran really fast. But for some reason, it was more demoralizing than anything I've probably ever experienced in life to that point. I know that sounds dramatic, but I guess I took it personal, and when you take something personal, to me at least, I try to work as hard as I can to, you know, right that wrong and show everyone that I am better than that and I can like overcome failure like that. Because I mean, to win like 5 state titles in a row and then lose that indoor race that you were the favorite by like however many seconds, I mean, it was an insane amount, and to lose it in a packed arena, just in like on the last 50 meters, that's just so tough. And so coming into Nationals, like the 2 weeks before, I really tried to get in a mindset, like a winning mindset, because I think I lost a lot of confidence after that. And even going forward into spring, even despite the national title after, I lost a lot of confidence because I thought I was invincible on a state level. But I mean, you can't really take any of that for granted. So I guess going into Nationals, I tried to get a different mindset and just visualize the race, forget about what happened in the past, and just run like I used to, like before the pressure really existed, like before I started winning after sophomore year. Like back then, I feel like I just ran without any worries or a target on my back. It was kind of just like, oh, if you have no expectations and you just go in thinking you can win, then you can win. And when there's no doubt in your mind, you won't lose in the end. So that's kind of how I approached the race, and it definitely paid off in indoor. But so like, honestly, if I didn't lose that meet a champion race, I don't think I would have won the national race. I guess it's just how I am, but yeah.
Oh, really? That's really interesting. Just the way you overcame that and like how you went about that defeat, because like you said, you visualized, you just remembered to
not have any doubts and just not worry about the little things. And yeah, just super interesting. And that can be like, that's great advice, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, like, even to this day, like I said, I still think about it sometimes and just like reminisce on how it changed me as a runner. Because at that point, I almost felt like I became a little complacent in my status as a runner. Like, I wasn't the best in the country by any means at the time. And but like in the state, I guess I felt complacent in my position there and kind of just decided to roll with it. And like that defeat really put things into perspective that, oh, I can't become complacent, and you have to keep working hard and keep trying to improve past where you were. So, yeah.
So going back to a season before that in your cross country meter champions race against Jack Stanley, where you won in a photo finish, do you think the outcome of that race fueled you in any way?
I think if I lost, it would have fueled me, because when I won in that photo finish, it didn't really affect me the same way that the loss to Liam Murphy in the winter did. It's a weird, actually. Let's say I lost to Jack Stanley, I would have been like pissed off, and I probably would have done the same thing that I did against Liam Murphy going into nationals with indoor. But because I won by that little margin, I was happy with the win, but I almost was upset with how the season ended. Like, I wanted to go out with a really fast time at Homedale and have a great like national run and like in cross country, which didn't happen senior year. I underperformed severely, but I feel like that win was a bad thing almost in cross country. And so I was kind of in a weird spot, in the postseason of cross country and early in indoor track. I was in a spot where I felt like I wasn't as good as I was, and I needed to kind of get that back. And that loss to Liam Murphy then kind of rebounded it. Like, if let's say I won against Liam Murphy, that it kind of wouldn't be the same thing with Jack Stanley. I would have continued doing what I did and feel like I'd be upset about it, honestly. Like, not as upset as if I lost, but I wouldn't have changed my mindset. I don't know if that makes sense. But,
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's like it's a weird situation. I mean, my senior year, the first two seasons of it really did not go as I wanted them to, but that loss in indoor definitely like changed things. There was definitely a switch that flipped after that.
Yeah, and you got you had a really good strong outdoor season with your sixth MOC title. So yeah, that was really impressive.
Thank you.
So what's your favorite place to run in New Jersey?
New Jersey, I guess it would probably be in the town next to mine in Bayhead, right along the beach on East Ave. I don't know if you know where that is, but it's just like a flat road that goes on for, I think, like a mile or two before you get on like a little highway again. But it's just really relaxing running down that road. And I used to run there with my mom when I was a kid. So it's always cool to just go there and, you know, smell the ocean, you know, maybe run up to one of the platforms, see the ocean, and then like run home for a good like 10-mile run or something. So that's kind of like my go-to like standard run. And I really like it. Other than that, like around the state, I'd probably say, I don't know, maybe... Like, I want to say Homedale, but I honestly haven't been to Homedale since the Meet of Champions.
What? Oh, really?
So, yeah, I haven't been there at all. I don't know, bad memories. But I guess I'd say, like, any kind of forest or something like that. Like Homedale. I mean, it doesn't have to be like that. But yeah, mostly I run in my own town or like, towns around it, and kind of just, like, try to keep it, like, kind of the same routes, typically.
Yeah, so now since you're in California for a few months, do you have any places there that you like a lot?
Well, I'm actually in Flagstaff right now.
Oh, you're in Flagstaff. What about Flagstaff?
Yeah, I mean, in Flagstaff right now, I mean, they got a bunch of, like, like forests or trails and stuff like that, and like logging trails that are really not, no, logging roads, I guess, that aren't really populated by anyone. So it's just these wide roads that you can, wide dirt roads that you can run through, amidst a bunch of trees, and it's really beautiful just like running in the mountains up here. So that's, there's a ton of like random roads that you can go to around here. So it's really awesome. Just completely different than what I'm used to in New Jersey or even California.
Yeah. Also with the altitude, right? Because yeah. Flagstaff.
Yeah.
How would you like to adjust?
I mean, it's not as bad as I thought it would be. You really only feel it like at the end of runs, I feel like, for me at least. And, like it gets like exponentially harder. Like once you've reached like 10 miles or something, it just starts to like take off, like how hard it is. Like it gets like way harder. So I definitely feel that a lot. And then during workouts, obviously you have to kind of adjust the pace. So you won't, like, you know, you won't be able to hit some of the paces that our coach gives us. So, you know, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be, but I'm definitely like happy that we're out here and getting that training benefit. Especially like with everything going on, I think it was the perfect opportunity. So we'll be here for the next 7 weeks around there, and then we'll kind of see what happens. Whether I'll go back to Stanford or New Jersey or maybe stay out here, I don't really know yet.
Are you training with other people right now, or in general, like for the past few months, do you typically train with your teammates on a daily basis?
Yeah, we definitely all typically train together. I got three other teammates out here right now, so we're kind of just like our own little training group right now.
Oh, nice. How do you think that compares to high school? Were you still training with your team a lot back then, or were you more solo?
Yeah, in high school, I haven't trained with my team since freshman year, so it was always kind of rough just running alone every day. And like the workouts on the track, I mean, my team would be there, but I would be running the reps alone, or I would be chasing them down. So it wasn't really a very like conducive like environment to really push yourself and improve with like other people at your level. So it's definitely a stark contrast to what I had in high school, just training with the group of guys at Stanford. It took a little bit of an adjustment to get used to, because like I said, I really never used paces or had to train with people and make sure that we're all staying together or something like that. I kind of just did everything myself and would try to like drop people if someone did try to run with me in high school, but you can't do that in college. So it's definitely been an adjustment, but I'm glad for it. And I definitely feel like we're improving a lot. I'm improving a lot, at least compared to high school, just because of the caliber of guys that I get to run with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My friend and I were talking about this a few days ago, and we were just saying we think both sides, training alone and training with a team, both have their pros and cons, because training with the team, obviously, you have the motivation to run with other people every day. You can push yourself. And then when you're training alone, just something about getting on the start line, knowing, like thinking about all the stuff you've done alone, all the miles alone, it just very motivating. But yeah, both sides definitely do have their pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not to say I don't run alone sometimes. I mean, a couple days a week, even at school, I'll run alone and do some like extra miles and stuff like that, just because I think it's necessary for my, even if it doesn't do anything necessarily for my mindset, I think it's important, like you said, kind of just to have that in the back of your head, like, oh, I did this by myself and like I'm ready to race.
So do you focus on like minor things besides running to improve as a runner, such as stretching, yoga, meditation maybe?
I'm a big believer in like certain types of cross training and a lot of strength training. Like in high school, for example, I would do weights like every day and, you know, try to keep my strength up and not really become one of those like I don't know, really skinny distance runners, as I feel like the strength can really help you, especially like in the latter stages of a race. So here, like out here, for example, we do weights a decent amount of times. That's at Stanford, that is. So we do weights decent amount of time, and we stretch a lot. We're just starting to get into yoga. The little things do add up, and I feel like that's kind of what separates like the good runners from the great runners. Like you can run a ton of miles, but if you're not working on your hip strength and general strength altogether, I don't think you'll be able to like succeed in the way that someone who's running the same amount of mileage you will. Like obviously won't be able to succeed as much as you. So I'm a big believer in that. Like at practice sometimes I'll just like do some extra things, or like in my dorm alone, like I'll do some extra things just to like get that little extra edge. And I think that's like essential, especially when you're training with a group and you're all kind of doing the same thing, to like really separate yourself. I think it's important to do that little extra bit every day, because it'll add up. Like it's marginal on like a weekly scale, but like if you compound that month after month, like you'll have big gains both in strength and like speed.
Yeah, for sure, definitely adds up. This is just a random question, just curious, do you do any barefoot running, like strides or anything?
Yeah, we do barefoot running. We do barefoot strides 2 days a week, I believe, 2 or 3 days a week, back on campus. So I think that's important. In high school, I would do that as well.
Yeah.
And I'll even do some, like, I used to do some beach runs in high school, like 10 milers on the beach, which is always kind of fun, but can't really get that done out here.
Oh, yeah. I'm in North Jersey, so I don't really live that close to beaches, but yeah, seems like a lot of fun running on a beach. Yeah,
it's tough though.
Yeah, definitely. So in high school, and you can even talk about college a little bit, what training philosophy would you say you followed? Were you more of a high mileage person or a low mileage person? And I know you said mileage, it's just a number and you don't want to like overthink it, but just generally, were you more of a high mileage or low mileage person?
Like generally compared to the average high schooler, I'd say high mileage, but compared to people running around the same times as me, I would say like medium, mid-range mileage. And like, I never really counted it, like I said, so I kind of just would run like a standard distance every day, like 8 miles or something, and then do the workouts and like, I don't know, I would never count like warm-ups and stuff, like I would kind of just go. And I honestly do that in college sometimes too. I know like you're not really supposed to, but I kind of just try to not think about it too much and just run.
Yeah. How do you think that type of training has impacted your transition to college training?
I mean, it's been a pretty big contrast, just because in college you kind of have a specific mileage range that you're trying to hit, and you're not really supposed to like disobey what your coach is saying. So, like I do try to hit that, but you know, some weeks it'll be up, some weeks it'll be under. That's kind of just how it goes. Like I feel like a lot of guys, even on my own team, kind of just micromanage that too much, and I'll make sure it's exactly at some number, but that doesn't matter. It really doesn't. So, and people call me like, I don't know, irresponsible for doing that, but I just see it as something that you don't have to really worry about. And as long as you're putting the effort in and like doing what you need to do, you'll find the success.
Yeah, that's a super interesting and valid perspective. So last year in high school and now in college, I'm sure you have a demanding workload in regards to academics. How do you balance being a top runner with excelling in the classroom?
I mean, you kind of just have to set aside the time. And like in high school, I really didn't try at all. And felt like you could still do really well because the classes were easy and, you know, you didn't have as long of practices and stuff like that. But in college, I definitely had to have a little adjustment period there. Like in the first quarter at Stanford, I struggled a little bit academically. You know, I didn't really put in like as much time as I should have to studying and doing homework. But if you're doing a hard major in college and you're running at a competitive program or doing any sport at a competitive program, it's going to be tough. Like I'm majoring in mathematics and computational science. So that's like a decently hard major, but it's not the hardest by any means, but I definitely found that you have to be sure to manage your time and not leave things to the last day like you did in high school. So but now that classes are online, I feel like for this quarter it's a lot easier in my opinion to kind of just get your work done because you have nothing better to do anyway. So yeah. Might as well just like do some studying and read some textbooks. I don't know. So
yeah. So now since classes are online, do you have a lot more time to focus on running? And as you said, academics, like how is your day now compared to a normal day in college?
I mean, it's pretty similar. You can wake up a little later because you don't have to actually go to class. You can just like wake up, go turn on your computer and start going to the lecture or discussion section. But it definitely, you definitely have a lot more free time to do homework and do some other like running things, whether that be some stretching or strength training and whatnot. But overall, I'd say the time ends up being like pretty similar, I guess. Like it kind of all evens out because we have to like make our own food out here, and like so that takes a lot of time. Like you're kind of doing a lot of housekeeping things. Like you don't realize how much you have to do with that. I don't know. So maybe there's a little bit more extra time, so it is helping with the classes because I did take a heavier load this quarter with a few more units. It's definitely not. It's definitely not like an insane amount of time you get, but I like it a lot better than just going to class at Stanford because there's less distractions out here, I guess.
Oh yeah, so speaking of less distractions, what made you choose Flagstaff as like a good place to train?
I mean, the elevation first and foremost. Secondly, with everything going on, we felt like this would be a good place to kind of isolate ourselves from everyone else. And we could still get some really good training in as a group without having too much of a risk to spread like the virus or something like that. And it's not too expensive to live out here either. So we figured it would just be the best place to get some good training in and, you know, also bond as a team.
Yeah, one thing that's definitely on my bucket list eventually in my running career is I really want to go out to Flagstaff just to train for a few weeks maybe. And yeah, it just seems like a really nice place to run.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And bond with the team, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you in college or are you going to...
No, I'm actually a sophomore right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, when did you start this podcast?
I started it a few weeks ago, actually. Yeah, I had my first episode with Easton Allred.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Saw that. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you. So my next question is, do you value diet and is it a crucial part of your success?
I wouldn't say a crucial part, but like I don't eat crap all the time. I try to be conscious of what I'm eating, like how much protein I'm getting in. But I don't count calories or macros or micros or whatever you call it, but I kind of just try to eat sensibly. I mean, I used to eat a lot more actually, but I've learned that like you don't need as much food as you think you do. Like runners think they can just like eat whatever they want, but like you'd really don't need to eat that much. And I feel like in college I've been eating less, and I haven't lost weight or anything, but I just feel like you don't need as much food as you think you do, and you can still get like the nutrients in and everything. But you know, I just try to eat food that is nutritious and just generally regarded as being healthy, I guess. But other than that, like I don't really do anything special.
Yeah, so I'm noticing a lot of simplicity, not like overthinking things with like what you're saying overall, like as for mileage, for diet. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I mean, and I think especially in today's like age that we live in, with all the resources available to us, like with watches and like diet programs and strength programs, mileage programs, like all these things claiming to be the next best thing to improve your training, I think a lot of it is not a scam, but just too much. Like I feel like the running community in general, I think should go back to how it was like decades ago when people didn't have watches and it was more like a just train as hard as you can and just put in the work and you'll succeed. I feel like people almost focus too much on the little things. Not to say they don't matter, but I think it's important to look at the big picture and understand that the little things, yes, they do matter, but if you're not focusing on the big picture, like if you're too zoomed in on these little things and trying to like maximize all these things, you're going to miss out on the bulk of your training. And like, I think that's really what like prevents people from like getting to that next level.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great way to look at it. Not worrying about the minor things. So anyway, you're currently running at Stanford, like we've talked about. How did you choose Stanford and what was the recruiting process like for you?
For me, I kind of always wanted to go to Stanford since junior or senior year. So they were my number one, but I knew that they'd be tough to, it'd be tough to get their attention across the country. So I think at one point the coach just called me, in like March of junior year, I believe it was. And at that point they just shot like right to the top of my list. Like if I knew they were recruiting me, I would go there even for no money. Like I just wanted to go there really bad. So I kind of just, told them that, yeah, like I'm going to try to go there. And, for the admissions process though, for Stanford, it's a lot harder than other schools and they don't give as much leniency to athletes. And I think that's a lot of times why people end up not going to Stanford, because they don't get in, as track athletes. So that was a process applying and whatnot, which took like 2 months, I believe. But I heard back in September of senior year, took my official there, and like committed a couple days later. So it was a pretty simple process, I guess, compared to a lot of people. I only took an official to there and Duke, but the decision was kind of like made pretty early in my mind where I wanted to go.
Yeah, that's really cool and interesting. So when you talk about these official visits, what exactly do you do on them?
I don't know. You kind of just meet the team, meet the coaches, tour the facilities, hang out with the team at night, get dinner, go to the dining halls, whatnot, maybe attend a couple classes. It's honestly not that fun. I never really liked the whole concept of like visiting schools, even on some of the unofficials that I did. It just did not appeal to me, because like, any school you go to, they're just going to show you the best side of themselves, and you kind of miss out on any negatives of the school. So it's kind of hard to differentiate anything. So even Stanford, there's a lot of things that I didn't know about that are do detract from the experience. But I mean, I'm so glad I picked Stanford anyway. But like, aside from the point, I feel like a lot of schools try to only show their best sides. I mean, rightfully so. Like, you wouldn't try to show like anything bad about your school or your team or anything like that. But yeah.
Yeah. So are you planning on running any time trials this spring or summer, or are you just building a base for cross country?
I think my plan is kind of to just build the base for cross country. I personally think like all the races before July are going to be canceled or have already been canceled. And like time trials, I never really liked that much anyway. I think it's not really a true test of your fitness. Like, I definitely race. Like, even if there's people in the race that aren't as fast as me, if it's a race, I'm going to run a lot faster than if it's just me and maybe a pacer to running like some time with no stakes or anything. If there's no stakes on the line, then I'm not gonna run fast. Like, that's just how I am, I guess.
Yeah, you truly are a competitor from what you've been saying. You really like competing, I can tell. Anyway, good luck. Thank you so much for doing this, taking the time to do this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
No problem. Do you want to shout out anyone or your Instagram or something?
No, I mean, I'm good. If you want to follow me, just look me up, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
But yeah, thanks so much, man. I mean, this is awesome that you're doing this. Like, what are you doing? Like, once a week or once every couple weeks?
Yeah, once every couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool. Who are you trying to get on after this?
I think I'm have stay tuned on after this.
Oh, cool. Wow. Awesome. Well, yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to like let me on this. Really good luck in the future. I think a lot of people like start listening to this like as it gains like momentum and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thank you for taking the time. And yeah, I learned a lot about your experiences, and I'm sure everyone listening will too.
Yeah, I hope so. If you need anything, just like hit me up whenever. Thanks for having me, man.